Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to be with you on this fine weekend. And the Packers take on the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday Night Football. It's going to be a good one. That's going to be in their new stadium in Atlanta. So the Packers were there and lost in the NFC Championship game at the old Georgia Dome, which I had the good fortune of being there for two Super Bowls. It was a great stadium, actually. And we're going to be there for the new stadium, the Packers are, that is, in Atlanta. So that's a big Sunday night matchup against NFC heavyweight playoff contenders, the way it's looking. Green Bay took care of Seattle last week, and Atlanta beat the Bears. The Bears play at Tampa Bay this week. Tampa Bay did not play last week because of the hurricane, so this will be, in essence, their season opener. But let's talk a bit about the Seahawks game. Packers defense was excellent, and that's what it's going to take, because Green Bay only scored 17 points, but their Achilles heel has always been defense. So if the Packers can play that well on defense throughout the season, I think the team will be in good shape. All right, let's hear from linebacker Clay Matthews on playing the Falcons in Atlanta.
If we can take anything away from last year's week two game against Minnesota, in which we opened up, you know it's going to be electric down there. Fans are going to show up, celebrate the opening of the new stadium. And on top of that, it's a team meant for turf. So, I'll be playing fast. They'll be ready to go. And, we hope to kind of weather that storm early and, persevere in the end. But it'll be a tough environment. But, we're looking forward to it.
You drew a lot of parallels last week between Seattle's offense and your offense here. Can you draw a lot of parallels between Atlanta and what you guys have on offense here as well?
I think it's the same thing. I think we've just got a number of playmakers on offense. It's, last week, and obviously Seattle's a terrific defense, but it's uncommon to see that, to see a defense hold a great offense in check for all four quarters, and we're still able to put up enough points to get that victory. So, if there's any parallel, I think it's just the fact that every position is loaded, on both offenses.
Now here's quarterback Aaron Rodgers. He's gotten so good at drawing the opponent offsides and then going deep for a big score. He did that last week to Jordy Nelson, and he talks about what he's doing there.
It's substitution patterns. You see guys, the play ends on a second down, they sprint to the sideline, or the play ends on their side of the field, and they immediately know, hey, this is when we got to get off. And they understand the most important thing is just getting those first couple guys off. It's an awareness of that, but you still have to have discipline on the cadence. It's something that we've used here for a long time.
Quarterback Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons comments on the Packers' defense.
I think Dom Capers does such a good job of marrying the front end to the back end and making sure that they're in sound defenses and in the right spots throughout the game plan. So when they've got their healthy guys out there, they're tough. I mean, played Seattle really well last week. Made it difficult on them the entire day. So again, we're going to have our work cut out for us, but we're going to practice hard all week and make sure that we're as prepared as we can be heading into this game.
So at Chicago at Tampa Bay and Green Bay at Atlanta, we've got a lot coming on the show today. Mike Perlo later in the program from SRN Broadcasting talking fantasy football. We'll have John Poulter, our professor of sports, talking even baseball later in the program, a little bit off of football there. And then we'll have Dave Kerner from WBBM in Chicago, sports anchor there. And we'll be talking about the Bears. That's coming up next with Steve Leventhal. It's the Sports Report.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit?
Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081.
You gotta be kidding me. Some guy named Packer Dave is on the air in Chicago, in Bear Country. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm Brent Musburger, and I'm not doing anything for some guy named Packer Dave in Chicago. Get a life.
Hey, it's not just Chicago. It's worldwide. Online, kwwradio.com and internetfm.com. Every week, the Sports Report with me, Packer Dave. And now I bring in from Chicago, from SRN Broadcasting, Steve Leventhal. Steve, how are you today?
Oh, Dave, you must be in heaven. It's NFL's in full swing now. Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night. Oh, it's right. This is the best time of year for you?
It's all really good. Tell you what, the new rookie quarterback, John Watson for the Houston Texans, looked pretty good on Thursday night. 49-yard touchdown run. Just took off, and boom, he was in the end zone. They might have something there. But, Steve, you go to Halas Hall each week, and you talk to the reporters and the coaches and players there at Halas Hall in Lake Forest. So this week you go, tough loss that the Bears had to Atlanta. What was the mood around the building there?
Well, the mood of the building is sort of a, you know, sort of a good, bad, good news, bad news. You know, most people, especially from the reporter side, you know, thought the Bears would probably gotten blown out in that game. But in fact, they hung in there until the very end, had opportunities to win that game in the closing seconds. But in true typical Bear fashion, at least Bears of late, they couldn't get it done.
Okay. Well, they've got Tampa Bay this week in Tampa. And let's hear from quarterback Jameis Winston from the Buccaneers on the first game for them of the year.
You know, the wait is finally over. Football is back for the Buccaneers. And like I said, we just want to be a lift me up for this community, for this city. And hopefully we can do that on Sunday.
Jameis, you get to go against Mike Lennon this Sunday. What's your relationship with him? And have you been talking with him leading up to?
I haven't talked with Glizzy. I'm excited for him. I'm happy that he gets to come to Tampa and play. You know, hopefully he does well, but not well enough to beat us.
Now let's hear from Bears quarterback Mike Glennon. He's kind of familiar with Tampa. He played there a couple years before coming to the Bears. So he touches on that.
I mean, obviously, I'm familiar with their offense, familiar with their defense. I mean, I was going against them in scout team every day last year. I mean, it was the first year Mike Smith was there. But, you know, it's different, a little different when you start when you break them down and start game planning them than when you're just going against them in practice. But, you know, a lot of things look familiar, but they haven't played a game yet. So, you know, I have to be prepared for anything.
He kind of becomes a bit of a coach because, yes, as he said, he worked with the scout team, and he certainly should know that offense and defense pretty well.
Okay, now here's Bears coach John Fox on Tampa's offense.
Their other tight end's pretty good. He hurt us a year ago in the game in Tampa. So, you know, they definitely have weapons. You know, I think Jameis is improving all the time. He's getting more comfortable in what they're doing. They've been in the same system now for some time. You know, I think defensively, same thing with what Mike's done there on defense. So, you know, they've added some guys. They're a good football team.
So, Dave, the other thing, you know, we didn't really bring you any audio. The offensive coordinator, Dowell Loggins, he really was singing the praises of Tariq Cohen. If you've seen him, he's sort of going to become a very multi-purpose running back, receiver, slot back, because, one, he's got unbelievable speed. Two, he can catch the ball, and as you've seen, to me, in many ways, he's got that sort of Barry Sanders burst of, if he run him out off tackle and he sees an opening, he's just going to shoot right through it. So he's going to probably be the one exciting thing about the Bears this season. That is until they bring in Mitch Trubisky to be the quarterback.
Okay, Steve Leventhal with us from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. Coming up, Steve and Mike Perlo will talk fantasy football, but let's look around the rest of the league. The Vikings are playing the Steelers this week. Let's hear from Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer.
You know, Pittsburgh's a really good football team. They perennially are very, very good. They've got a great quarterback, great runner, great receiver. The defense played really well last week with 7 sacks, so it'll be a tough environment for us to go into. Should be fun.
We've got Dallas and Denver. That's a good late afternoon game. And Coach Vance Joseph, new coach for Denver, talks about the Cowboys.
Dak being a young quarterback, it's critical because the pressure of making every play, it won't be on the quarterback. So running the football allows you to have short third downs. You control the clock, and you're in control of the football game. So they do a great job, obviously, with Dak running the football and keeping the third downs manageable and keeping the pass attempts to a minimum. And that keeps mistakes to a minimum. So it's absolutely critical for a young quarterback.
Now we bring in sports anchor from WBBM AM and FM in Chicago, News Radio WBBM. Longtime radio station in Chicago, Dave Koerner. Dave, welcome to the show. How are you?
Pleasure to be with you guys this morning.
If he only knows what he's getting into.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with me. And anyway, I don't know about Steve. But all right, Dave, now let's look at the Bears. A lot of people say, hey, they hung in there with the Falcons. That's pretty good. But is that really good enough in Chicago to be close?
No, it's not. Because I think if there's enough of these close but no cigars, you're going to hear more grumbling and discontent than maybe you're hearing now. And the fact is, they should have won the game Sunday, even with everything that happened. When you have first and goal on your 5, and you cannot score in 4 plays, and you take a sack on 4th down to end it, not good enough.
Okay, your impressions of Mike Glennon in his first start as a Bear?
Okay, solid, not spectacular. It's almost like they kept the reins in on him for the first half and a little bit of the second half in terms of throwing it downfield. He was able to execute a hurry up fairly well, considering he really just has kind of a pedestrian group of receivers right now. It wasn't a bad outing from him. The main thing, though, with Glennon, no interceptions. And that's really the only way he's going to be able to survive for any length of time here. It's if he does not make stupid mistakes and does not throw those, Jay Cutler-like interceptions at the absolute worst time. If he can avoid it, at least the Bears stay in games. Maybe he's going to have weeks when things do click for him and, he's able to pull off the kind of comeback that he could have had and they could have had last week. But that's really how it's going to have to get done for a Mike Glennon right now.
Yeah, Dave, the biggest problem I think this team has is that, their number one receiver went down, Kevin White, who played in one game in, 3 years? And, of course, they lost the tight end. So, yeah, you could probably see Tariq Cohen be sort of a part-time receiver, too. You don't have that much talent out there in the receiving core.
Yeah, I think, you really have to think in terms of using Cohen more out of the backfield to catch the ball. You gotta work the tight ends into things a little more. Zach Miller, I think, is going to have a more important role in terms of catching. Now, I know they, of course, need extra tight ends in to block to help the offensive line to keep Glennon upright. Understandable. But when your receivers aren't getting open, you need, other outlets. And all that is going to be important, I think, if the Bears are going to have any real semblance of a passing attack here.
All right, Dave Koerner with us from WBBM News Radio, AM and FM in Chicago. What's your outlook on their matchup with Tampa?
Well, I think stopping the Bucs passing game is going to be a bit problematic. If the front 7 can put pressure on Jameis Winston, I think the chances go up a lot. Can they do it? Kind of hard to tell. Losing Jarrell Freeman for the season, that's pretty critical. All that said, and yes, it's the Bucs' first game of the season, and they're a little obviously disjointed because of what happened in their area with Hurricane Irma and trying to get in a regular routine and into the flow of the season. I think another close but no cigar loss for the Bears come Sunday in Tampa.
Well, and Dave, and you know, you've seen this team, they really have big gaps in the middle, and especially with a very mobile quarterback like Jameis, that could spell a lot of trouble because
Jameis Winston.
Yes, Steve. I know. I watched him play.
Say it with me.
Jameis. I watched him play at Florida State. I've probably seen more of him than you have, Packer
Dave.
Well,
I can at least pronounce his name, okay?
But, all right, back to my point, and I do have one, which is his ability to scramble out of the pocket, and, you know, that Bears middle just breaks down, and you're gonna see a lot of, you know, improvisation and a lot of little passes over the middle, and that's where the Bears are really vulnerable. They can get a little tighter in the red zone, but they're going to give up a lot of yards.
Well, because if Winston is allowed to improvise and has bought more time, the pressure on the secondary goes up a lot. And they don't need that pressure as it is. You know, I don't know if you can look at the Bears secondary at this point and really see any degree of reliability in terms of taking care of people. Maybe when if the Bucs get in the red zone, you know, holding receivers, if you will, in the end zone and just not allowing them space and the ability to get free. So those questions come up, and I think those questions just get bigger when Winston is allowed to move around and throw the ball the way he can, because he can chuck it. There's no question. I think Jameis Winston has a pretty significant upside. But, you know, he's young in his development, and that's going to take time. I would guess then that the Bears are hoping that he's not growing up in a hurry on Sunday.
Okay, Dave Koerner with us, WBBM AM and FM News Radio in Chicago. He'll be joining us later in the program because he's covering the BMW Championship at Conway Farms in Lake Forest. So we'll talk to him later in the show after we're done with the football stuff. Dave, we look forward to having you back on later in the show.
Okay, you bet.
Now let's move to fantasy football. Steve and SRN contributor Mike Perlow.
All right, we're back here with our fantasy football expert, Mike Perlow, and we're here for the 2017 edition where we're going to use imaginary dollars, wink, wink, nod, nod, and play fantasy every week. So we're not going to talk about last week because that was a bit of a disaster. Let's jump right into this week and tell me the games that we're looking at that are the focus games.
Absolutely. There are two that jump off the charts for me. First one is Green Bay at Atlanta. So you've got the Falcons opening up their new home stadium. They just got a small impact from Hurricane Irma. They're going to be stoked and ready to go. And you've got Aaron Rodgers coming to town. I look for a shootout there. All bets are off. And by the way, I heard this stat earlier today. Green Bay has the two of the three worst rated cornerbacks from last year. Two of the three worst rated, number two and number three.
So that should open it up pretty
monster,
much.
Yeah, the monster chalk play is Julio Jones.
All right.
Julio Jones is going to have a field day.
And the other game that you mentioned to me before we sat down to tape this was New England at New Orleans. Why do you like that game?
Well, first of all, I still believe that Belichick is the best head coach in football. Give that guy three extra days to prepare coming off of a surprising loss on opening night, an embarrassing loss on opening night. I look for Belichick and Brady to pour points like nobody's business. They happen to be going up against a New Orleans Saints secondary that made Minnesota looked like all-stars last week. So Brady, check. And here there's a connection going on, and it's Brandon Cooks. Keep in mind, Brandon Cooks was just brought out to New England this year. He was the highest ticket free agent signing in the offseason. Where did he come from?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Right.
You got it. He's going home, and you got Brady, who's going to be licking his chops at this secondary and getting his team off the schneid.
All right, so let's talk about the team we're going to put up this weekend. So if you're listening, well, now you know who you're up against. All right, you said, so Tom Brady's going to be our quarterback. Who would be some other picks that you might look at if you didn't want to spend the money on Brady?
Yeah, and Brady is, by the way, the most expensive pick of the week. So he's a high ticket, and number two happens to be Aaron Rodgers, by the way. Beyond those two, who are both studs and both expect to put up points, you could also save a little cash going down to a Jameis Winston. I really like what he's done in the offseason. I love his connection with Mike Evans. They've got the Bears coming to town. It's Tampa's home opener. And keep in mind, they're going to be stoked after Irma, right?
Yeah, but I know we thought Houston was going to be stoked, and Jacksonville wiped them all over the stadium.
Well, I think there's a point where talent comes to play, and Houston was stoked, and J.J. Watt, he was stoked, but he also got hurt. But when you're starting Tom Savage at QB, I don't know what you could expect to possibly do.
All right, so let's move along. Let's take who are the two running backs you like this week?
Running back, here's my sleeper play of the week. And there's a name that not a lot of people know, and that's Buck Allen of the Baltimore Ravens. No team ran more than the Ravens did last week. And Buck Allen, and by the way, depending on what site you play in, he is also known as Javorius Allen, and that's where we see him in FanDuel. Javorius Allen's coming in at $4,900 salary. This kid is a third year back. He had 21 carries last week. With Danny Woodhead going down, I don't know if you've heard, he's on IR now. Buck Allen is now the third down receiving back as well, because Terrence West has brick hands. I look for this kid to really give you a nice return on investment.
And in fantasy, that's what you want, not just somebody who carries every down, but also who can go in there and catch passes on third downs.
You got it. You want somebody that's going to be a three-down back, and keep in mind, oftentimes you get a point or a half of a point per reception, so that's just gravy at that point for a running back. My other running back actually is another one, actually a converted wide receiver, now running back. He's got great hands, runs routes out of the backfield all day, and he's on a high-flying offense. That's Ty Montgomery for Green Bay. I look for Green Bay to try and control the ball on the ground if they're able against Atlanta, because that'll take their defense out of the game. That'll take their crowd out of the game. But in the event that it's a shootout, Montgomery's also in there. And again, he's a third down back.
All right. Give me one more option for running back for anybody who's playing fantasy.
Any other option at running back? Well, we all know we lost David Johnson this week. I look for Le'Veon Bell to bounce back big time. Bell did not have a good game at all last week, and I think he's embarrassed about that. He held out, did not go to camp. Clearly he wasn't ready, and he wasn't in sync with the offense. I look for him to go off this week.
All right, let's move to wide receiver. You got first pick Julio Jones from the Falcons in this game.
Yeah, that's right. So really all three of the receivers that I've got on the board this week, Steve, are guys that we talked about already. So you've got Julio Jones going up against two out of the three worst rated cornerbacks from last season. Okay. And it's Julio Jones. He's a monster. He's a beast. Ryan's going to be feeding him in the new building. And you've got Mike Evans hosting the Bears again, home opener for Tampa post Irma. And this is where talent does win out, unlike Houston last week. I look for Jameis Winston and Mike Evans to hook up quite often. Number three, Brandon Cooks. Again, we went with Brady at quarterback. He's the other side of that combination. It's his homecoming in New Orleans. I think it's going to be a special game for that kid.
Okay, let's move to tight end.
Very good. At tight end, I went a little out of the box here. I needed to save some cash. And so I was looking again for value, and I was looking for volume. And I looked in the direction of Oakland, and Oakland just signed Jared Cook this year. He's been a talent that hasn't found a home over the last 3 years. This is now his third team. But he's really connected with Derek Carr in the offseason, and it showed last week in week one. I think he had 7 targets, which is nice size, nice volume for a tight end.
Yeah, very good for a tight
end. I look for Jared Cook to be on the receiving end of a lot of those over-the-middle passes as Oakland faces off against the Jets.
Okay, let's take our kicker.
We talking kicker today? I'm going Minnesota. I like what Minnesota looked like. They're moving the ball on offense. Their defense is holding the ball in place. So they're winning that field position game, and they're creating turnovers, which is more scoring opportunity for the kicker. They're going into Pittsburgh. I'm not worried about Pittsburgh's defense. I look for Minnesota to pour points on with Sam Bradford, with the kid Cook running in the backfield, and Stephon Diggs, big, huge game last week coming out as a wideout for Vikings. I like high-scoring, potent offenses, and I think Kai Forbath fits the bill there.
All right, and lastly, let's take the defense. When last week, wow, we saw some defenses that put up some points, didn't we?
Steve, I've never seen a week like last week. You and I had the Jaguars in a couple, two pick sixes, and they gave us 28 points, which is unbelievable. In my home league, I had the Rams, two pick sixes and a safety. Unbelievable. All Jaguars right. had 9 sacks, by the way. 9 sacks.
Yeah. Okay, so what team are we looking for this week in defense?
I got a sneaky pick here, and it all goes back to my old buddy as a Bear fan, Jay Cutler. Jay starting his first game for the Miami Dolphins, and I know he's good for at least one pick six, and I love that the Chargers are opening up their new stadium in their new city. That's right, it's the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't know, maybe that might be the first time I said that out loud. I've called them San Diego several times, but I look for them to have a field day on Jay Cutler and a rusty Miami team.
All right. Well, Mike Perlow, our SRN fantasy sports expert, thanks so much. So we will report back next week on how we did, and we will hopefully be doing this every week this season. So thank you so much, and take care. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. A lot more coming back on the program. We've got the professor of sports from Toronto, Ontario, John Poulter, and we'll have more with Dave Kerner from WBBM. As far as golf goes, coming back on the Sports Report. Hang on.
If your windows won't open, it's difficult to enjoy the mild temperatures this time of the year. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about unsticking them right after this.
Beautify your outdoor living spaces with Pavestone's elegant collection of pavers, retaining walls, patio stones, and edging. Pavestone's easy do-it-yourself products have a unique way of transforming landscapes into beautiful dreamscapes. Discover how you can enhance your outdoor living spaces with attractive and durable interlocking patio stones, driveway pavers, steps, retaining walls, pathway edging, fire pits, and planters by visiting pavestone.com.
The most common reason for windows not to open is that they've been painted shut. Start by unlocking them and carefully cutting through the paint using a utility knife where the window stop meets the sash. Bump the top frame of the sash with your hand or a rubber mallet to loosen it. This may be enough to allow you to open the window. If not, go outside and insert a flat pry bar between the sill and sash on one side of the frame. Don't start in the middle because the pressure could break the glass. Pry upward a little to loosen it, then repeat on the other side of the frame, working each side until it raises. Once you have it open, spray a little lubricant or rub paraffin wax in the track on each side of the frame. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program.
program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-718-1731. 800-718-1731. 800-718-1731.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.
Hey, Packer Dave, this is Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball. And, you know, when we think of cheeseheads in Wisconsin, your name immediately comes to mind. Not only cheesehead, but curdle cheese. When they talk about curdle cheese, letting it go sour, it's you, Dave. And we thank you for that, Packer Dave.
Hey, and we thank you for that, Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker. Loved him all through the 70s and 80s and 90s. And 2000s all the way to now.
Just a bit outside.
Yep. Harry Doyle in Major League. And I cannot remember listening to a Brewers game without Bob Uecker on it. I mean, well, there have been times, of course. But I mean, from when I grew up. From when I was in the third grade.
Well, did you ever
get Uecker
past the third or fourth inning?
Both years of third grade. And, you know, I'm old. I'm going to be 55 years old here in a few weeks. So it's been a long time that Bob Uecker has been the play-by-play man for the Milwaukee Brewers. And they are in a battle with the Chicago Cubs for the NL Central. To talk about this and all of Major League Baseball, we bring in our professor of sports from Toronto, Ontario, John Poulter. John, how are you?
I am doing well. Thanks, guys. How about you?
Fine. Steve?
It's all good.
I didn't have to repeat any grades, so I guess I fooled a lot of people for a lot of years.
In Canada, you went to 13 years, didn't you?
That's,
instead of 12?
Well, actually, yes. I went to the last five, 9 through 13 in Canada, but the equivalents of grades 1 through 8 went to school in England, so I split my education between two countries.
That's why you're so smart.
Is that like the devaluation, you know, the Canadian 75%, so you got to do an extra year of high school? Is that kind of along the same lines?
No, it just means that we ended up going an extra year. In fact, about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little bit longer now, grade 13 was eliminated. So for a number of years now in Canada, grade 12 has been the end of high school, and kids have been going to university a year earlier.
Let me apologize for Steve, John. He's an ass, okay? So just keep that in mind. Now, Major League Baseball, three games behind right now. The Brewers are the Cubs in the NL Central. Not a lot of time left. And in the wild card, they're 2.5 games out of it. So I bet you think the Cubs are going to roll with this.
I'm not sure they are. They got a tough series this weekend against the Cardinals at Wrigley Field. And the Cardinals and the Brewers, both three games behind the Cubs. So if the Cardinals could sweep the Cubs at Wrigley Field, we could have a tie at the top. And the fact that the Cubs and the Cardinals are playing each other actually helps Milwaukee, because it means they're going to gain ground on at least one team over the course of the weekend, assuming, of course, the Brewers don't get swept in their series. But at the end of the day, if the Brewers swept and the Cardinals swept, we could have a three-way tie at the top of that division come Sunday night.
All right. That would be so cool. But I don't know. You know, Milwaukee has a tradition. I have called it the September skid, where they just don't come through, even though they've had a promising season. So,
Well, they've done that the last couple of years. A couple of years ago, they were in first place for a good chunk of the season and then just kind of ran out of energy at the end of the year. Last year was not a great year, as we all know, so we won't go there. But this year, they've certainly come back. They've played well most of the year. They've got a tough series with the Marlins in Miami this weekend. Marlins are kind of out of it. Washington has clinched that division and has clinched it for some time. And I think the Marlins have now kind of played themselves out of the wild card issue. And, of course, there's been those terrible hurricanes in Florida, which have obviously affected a lot of people's lives down there. So you have to wonder if the Marlins' minds will be on baseball. This may actually help the Brewers in terms of playing that series.
Steve?
What do you want me to know?
Something.
Well, the big story in baseball is Cleveland. It's not the Brewers. I mean, that's obviously fun to watch the division race, but what about what the Indians are doing right now?
Very good. They're just on fire. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see that 22nd consecutive win on Thursday night, but tied it with two out and two strikes on Francisco Lindor in the bottom of the ninth inning, and then went on to win it in extra innings, primarily through some hustle. Leadoff hitter had a chance to stretch a single into a double, and he did it. He challenged Lorenzo Cain, who's one of the best defensive outfielders in the league. And this was Ramirez, and he ended up at second base. And next thing you know, the Indians have won 22 in a row. First time in over 100 years. I think 1916, I believe, was the last time that a team went undefeated for more games than that. And there's a little bit of a quirk in that, because in 1916 in the National League, they did play to ties. And the New York Giants went 24 undefeated, but one of those games was a tie. So technically, in terms of consecutive wins, the Cleveland Indians now own the Major League record. And that's quite an accomplishment, because we played a lot of baseball in the last 116 years.
That was one of my favorite years to watch baseball, was 1916. I loved that year. By the way, Steve, I apologize. Hey, guys, no talking over each other. Okay, Steve, I apologize. You're not an ass. I didn't mean to call you that.
It's all for entertainment. No, you don't hurt my feelings. You can call me anything but late for dinner. I'm good. It's
John Poulter with us from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We're talking Major League Baseball here. And, of course, you come to Arizona most years during either spring training or the very early part of the regular season. We hang out there, John. And our Arizona Diamondbacks this year already clinching a playoff spot. What a turnaround that was. What do you think about that?
I think it's great news for Arizona. And if the Dodgers could have gone into this funk that they've been in for the last 4 or 5 weeks, a couple of months earlier, we'd be talking about a pennant race right now, rather than the Diamondbacks just sitting very comfortably in second spot in that Pacific or Western Division with the rest of the Pacific teams. And, you know, they've basically locked up a playoff spot. I'm not sure that mathematically they've clinched it, but realistically, I think we can say that they've clinched it. The second spot is a little bit open right now, and the potential opponents there would be the Colorado Rockies, and the Diamondbacks beat them 7-0 on Thursday night, so sending a clear message there. But I think the Diamondbacks and their fans can certainly look forward to some postseason baseball in the desert this year.
Well, I think that's what baseball's supposed to be. You know, the Diamondbacks were god-awful a few years ago. The Astros were terrible a few years ago. But you get some draft picks. If you're, you know, if you've got good management and you build up your team, you work your farm system, then you get back in the thick of it, which is pretty much what's happened out in Phoenix.
That's exactly what's happened. They've made some good signings. I think with Troy Lovello, they've had a good hire in terms of the manager's position. It's all kind of come together for the Diamondbacks at the right time. So that second wild card spot, who will be their potential opponent in the sudden death wild card game, that's getting rather close, because as we talked a little earlier, Milwaukee and St. Louis are both in that race, 2.5 games back as we speak. And the Colorado Rockies currently holding on to that spot. And the Diamondbacks have a chance to put the Rockies further back in that race with some additional wins in the rest of that series, which goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
One of my sports highlights of my life. Being in the locker room when the champagne is flowing after the Diamondbacks defeat the Yankees, the 2001 World Series, covered that in Arizona, and all the press was lined up in front of the Yankees locker room, bottom of the ninth, thinking they were going to win. And all of a sudden, the Diamondbacks come through. win the game. The whole press corps runs down to the other end of the hall, and Arizona gets their first pro sports championship from the Diamondbacks, who were a young team at that time. Yes, Steve.
I thought your sports highlight was when I called you from the middle of the Superdome with James Lofton, and you were the Packers won that game.
That was great, Steve. I got to give you credit for that. That was really good. Steve covers the Super Bowl. He's down on the field after when all the confetti's flying, and he seeks out one of our favorite guests and longtime Packer great and Buffalo Bills great, James Lofton. And we have a nice discussion after the Super Bowl. That's right there, too, Steve. All right, John, any other thoughts on Major League Baseball? What is piquing your interest at this time outside of what we've discussed already?
Nothing much, really, I guess, other than the Giancarlo Stanton race to try and hit 60 home runs or more than 60 home runs. He's on a pretty good pace. He's certainly not going to catch Barry Bonds with that unbelievable 73 total that he had. But Stanton has a real good chance to hit in the low 60s and put himself in the record book. And I think that would be good for baseball. It would be nice to see another name in there other than the McGuires and the Bonds and the Sosas and the Ruths and the Marises, the guys we've all become accustomed to hitting those kinds of numbers. I wish the guy luck. It would be good, and it would also be good for the state of Florida and the city of Miami with the tragedies that we've seen down there in the last week to 10 days with the weather.
Okay, John Poulter from Toronto. John, thanks very much. We'll do it again next week, and you have yourself a great weekend, my friend.
Yeah, my pleasure as always, guys. Take care, and we'll chat next week.
Hockey just around the corner.
Yep, we'll
just
be talking
around
that.
The corner.
We will be talking about that, too. Now let's bring back from WBBM News Radio AM and FM in Chicago sports anchor Dave Koerner. And Dave joined us earlier in the program talking a bit about the Bears, but he is at the BMW Championships at Conway Farms in Lake Forest. It's part of the FedEx Cup. And Dave, give us an update. What's going on out there?
Well, we have a second round unfolding where the leader, Australian Mark Leishman, turned in a 9-under-62 yesterday for round one. And the fact that Leishman was seventh in FedEx Cup points starting this tournament, this helps him a lot. You know, he even said it yesterday, if I can finish second or third in this event, he could be in the top five heading to the Tour Championship in Atlanta next week. And that means not only the chance of winning the FedEx Cup, of course, $10 million in your pocket. So not a bad incentive at all for these guys to go after. And Leishman is giving himself a decent shot right off the bat.
So, Dave, maybe for the uneducated and Packer Dave, you could kind of explain quickly how the FedEx Cup works and why it's significant.
Well, the FedEx Cup is it's a series of events that basically go together starting in late August, running to late September. The BMW Championship, which every other year has been in the Chicago area but is rotated in other parts of the country, is part of that mix. This is actually the next to last FedEx Cup event. So there's a significant payday for the winner here. I think it's like $1.5 million. But through the year, you accumulate points. And once the FedEx Cup competition really starts, the first event usually in the New York City area, you get golfers, you know, far and wide. But that field actually knocks itself down as the weeks go by and the tournaments go on.
They start with 125 golfers in the first tournament.
Correct.
It gets whittled down to 100, and then in this tournament, the top 70. There's no cut, so it's 70 players all 4 days.
No cut, that's right. But there is a cut of sorts, of course. After this tournament, you need to be in the top 30 to get to the Tour Championship in Atlanta. That top 30 plays the following week for the big money for the FedEx Cup. This is something that's been going, I want to say, since 2009. And it's important to these guys on the tour. You know, the majors are done. There's still a bit of lag time before you get to what is sort of an off season. But then again, for some of these guys, maybe not, because in the case of this year, once they're done with the FedEx Cup, some of these guys will be concentrating on the President's Cup, which takes place a little later in the year. So golf can be a 12-month game, but this is sort of the wind down to the end of the PGA season here.
Yeah, and for people in Chicagoland, and this is a great event to go to because you get all the top golfers in the world, Matt. This may not be a major, but, you know, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson.
Right.
You got, you know, Dustin Johnson. You got all the big dogs are here.
Dave Koerner, WBBM, AM and FM, news radio in Chicago. You have a great time at the BMW Championships in Lake Forest, and thanks for coming on the show.
Gentlemen, my pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
And I do like covering golf. Of course, I went to the PGA earlier this year, and this tournament is wonderful because it's very convenient, located literally minutes from House Hall. So on Wednesday, I was able to go between the two, and Thursday, I was there for the first round, got a little bit of audio. First up, let's hear from Phil Mickelson.
You know, it's fun to play a good, solid opening round and not feel like I'm having to play catch-up the whole time thereafter. So it was fun to get a good start. I also feel that it was about as high as I could have shot today, given the number of birdie opportunities I had and how well I played. I did get away with one or two shots, but other than that, I struck the ball really well. It feels great to be able to have energy throughout the round and keep my focus up, and I'm really excited with some simple changes I've made in the last month to get my game back.
Being bogey free means a lot to you.
It does mean a lot to me. It means that I'm focused, I'm in tune, I'm dialed in on each shot and playing well.
Yeah, Phil's getting his swagger back. He shot 5 under par, 4 behind the leader after day one of the tournament, and he's getting his groove back. That's what he talked about.
All right, here's Jordan Spieth on his approach to this week and next.
If I had to finish first and second the next 2 weeks, it's pretty obvious I'd be more than happy to finish my third consecutive second this week. So I'm looking to play well. You know, I took a few days off, and again, it goes back to trying to maintain strength. And there's been times I've shot 81 at East Lake, and I've shot 65 probably at East Lake. And it just, you know, obviously it's how you're playing, but you know, there were certainly years, two of the 4 years I've played East Lake, I was certainly tired out by the time I reached there in 14 and 16. So it's a matter of conserving as much energy as possible, you know, limit the reps on the range and really focus on short game, and then next week approach it like a major.
Yeah, Jordan is number one ranked in the FedEx points, and all he has to do is finish in the top 4 or 5 of this, and he's almost a lock to win it. That's $10 million.
That's a lot of loot. All right, we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Sports Report. Remember, you can hear us, new shows every Friday afternoon at internetfm.com and kwwradio.com, also milehighradio.com. So, for Steve Leventhal, for Mike Perlow, for Dave Koerner, for the professor of sports, John Poulter, I'm Packer Dave saying thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Take care. See you next week. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Get some beer, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
A rug that slips around on the floor is annoying at best and dangerous at its worst. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about making those rugs stay put right after this.
Beautify your outdoor living spaces with Pavestone's elegant collection of pavers, retaining walls, patio stones, and edging. Pavestone's easy do-it-yourself products have a unique way of transforming landscapes into beautiful dreamscapes. Discover how you can enhance your outdoor living spaces with attractive and durable interlocking patio stones, driveway pavers, steps, retaining walls, pathway edging, fire pits, and planters by visiting pavestone.com.
Area rugs and runners make great additions to hard surface floors like wood, laminate, and tile. But when they start sliding around, they can really cause some problems. The decision to buy these rugs is usually based on size, design, and color, not the presence of a non-slip backing. You can buy non-slip tape, which has limited success. Non-skid mats that lay on the floor beneath rugs do a much better job, but are expensive, especially for the larger sizes. Instead, try this tip. Buy a tube of 100% clear silicone caulk and lay a generous bead all around the back side of the rug. Then take a putty knife and gently drag it over the bead to flatten it out a bit. When the silicone dries, you have your own not skid backing to keep your rugs in place. I'm Danny Lippard with tips for today's homeowner.
Hi, everybody. This is Pat Hughes, radio voice of the Chicago Cubs, and I would like to invite you to check out Baseball Voices, the Hall of Fame series. These commemorative audio tributes celebrate the greatest baseball announcers of all time. Harry Carey, Jack Buck, Bob Uecker, Harry Callis, Marty Brenneman, Red Barber, Milo Hamilton, and Dave Niehaus. These CDs are a collection of highlights, history, humorous stories, and Hall of Fame speeches. Available now at baseballvoices.com. That's baseballvoices.com.